This is Worldviews. I'm Suzette Gralat. Erica Robb Larkins, thanks for joining me today for the roundtable.
Thank you for having me.
So, Erica, you've lived a long time in Rio. Here we are in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. And you've lived here a long time, many years. You've been working here for many years. And so what an exciting place to be. I mean, obviously, as an outsider, as somebody who's been here for the first time, I can tell it's a vibrant place, super electric. I mean, obviously, we're heading into Carnival. So, you know, everything is really exciting. Lots of diversity, lots of activity. But I suspect that from what I read and what I hear and what I'm hearing while I've been here is that kind of an external perception, or the way in which it's perceived by people who don't really know the city versus those who know it well, that there's kind of a gap there. What can you tell me about your perceptions or the internal perceptions of Rio?
Rio is an incredibly vibrant, Brazil in general is an incredibly vibrant, diverse, fascinating place, and with, you know, an incredibly rich culture. And a lot of what you're seeing right now going into Carnival is all of this celebration, sort of these things that Brazil is known for. And that is very much true. At the same time, you have all of these complications, things that are, you know, challenges for people. But I don't think that it's that, you know, one is sort of the truth and the other one is not, but rather that that's the beauty of the contradiction of Brazil is in those two things.
Well, I like how you put it, kind of contradictions, because that's, I think, what you see. So let's talk specifics. So, like, in terms of economics and the way in which people live, for example, you can see very wealthy people living side by side, right, with people who are not wealthy or not even close to being wealthy, not even middle class. I mean, they're poor. So this is, I think, is this what you mean when you talk about the contradictions that you see in Rio?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. But it's not just wealthy neighborhoods next to poor neighborhoods. It's also inside the house, outside the house. So I think part of what has made Brazil's inequality famous is the fact that it's so striking, that you really do see mansions next to shantytowns, which is very different than in the United States, where poor people tend to be more invisible or put at the margins of a city. And that is the case in Rio also. In fact, most of the poor people in Rio and most of the Brazilian big cities live on the periphery. But here you also have these very famous areas called favelas that are right next to these wealthy areas. So you can see side by side the difference in the quality of living. What you don't see, though, is that sometimes within those poor houses, if you go inside of the four walls, you would find people that had flat screen TVs or computers or the kinds of luxury goods that we wouldn't really associate with the exterior of their houses. So there is also that contradiction between sort of the outside appearance and the inside reality.
I think that is such an excellent point, Erica, because, I mean, even in just my short time here, being here this week, I visited a couple of these favela communities, and I was amazed at how much, you know, how many things I actually had in these very small homes, these shanty towns, satellite television, satellites everywhere, flat screen TVs, cell phones, all of the, you know, sitting there on their laptops working. I mean, all of the luxuries that you would expect. So it's kind of, I guess, when you said that inside the house, outside the house. So inside their houses, life is better. They have stuff. They have things going on. But when you go outside the house, the roads, the electrical infrastructure, the education, healthcare, all of those things, that is still at question. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think that's really true. Brazil has been really celebrated in the last 5 to 10 years for reducing inequality. And there's this there's lots of publicity around what they call classe C, which is the C class, which is this new middle class in Brazil. And these people that live in shantytowns and favelas are the people that form the most of this class for the most part. And so inside of their house, they might have the markers of middle-class consumption. But when you go outside of the house, they don't necessarily have that. There's not an infrastructure. There's not adequate transportation. They're often living in precarious situations with violence. So the issue of class is being defined almost entirely by your consumptive power and not about these other things that I think we think very much have to do with class. So I'm always a little suspicious of this classe C, which is, you know, a really big thing here now.
Definitely an interesting perspective on that. Well, I have to ask, I mean, the World Cup is coming to Brazil in just a few months. The spotlight is clearly on this country, on this city. 2 years later, the Olympics will be here. I mean, it's hard to imagine right now that this is going to come off well. I mean, the traffic is unbearable. You know, how are they going to pull this off in terms of the actual just logistics of it in this big city? But then security, I mean, the pacification process of the favelas, I mean, the criminal element, how are they going to do?
Well, I think that's the big question, and the question that has certainly been generating a lot of international press. Almost every day I get an article or see an article, is Brazil ready? To the point where I think Brazilians are pretty annoyed. They're tired of this, even if they might very well agree. In fact, one of the most popular sort of expressions here are the things that happen. You're in a cab and you're in traffic and you talk to the cab driver. You say, oh, the traffic is so terrible. And the refrain that everyone says is like, oh, imagine what it's going to be like in the World Cup. And so everybody knows that it's going to be difficult and chaotic in some ways. And the readiness question, I think, is a very important one, but it's also one that has been hyped a lot by the international media because it sells more stories. And the government itself has been launched this campaign against this, which they're calling it like the Cup of the Cups. It's going to be the World Cup of the Cups. It's in Brazil. We love football, et cetera, which is really trying to counter some of these negative perceptions. Nonetheless, I mean, there are very legitimate concerns about infrastructure. For a long time, it was about stadiums. Are the stadiums going to be ready? This past week, it's been more about, does Brazil have other kinds of infrastructure? I've read articles saying that no one's cell phone is going to work because there'll be too many people trying to download data on their cell phones. Or there's, questions of electrical outages and things like that. So those kinds of things are now coming in more to the spotlight. Security remains kind of a constant. You've always had a concern with Brazil around petty crime, around criminal elements. But, since the protests started last year, I think that has become sort of the new security concern. Are there going to be large-scale protests again outside of these World Cup stadiums? And how is the government going to handle that? And how is FIFA going to handle that? And those still remain unresolved questions.
Well, they'll resolve it in a few months for sure, I suppose. We'll all be watching. Well, thank you so much, Erica, for joining me today here in Rio.
Thank you. So nice to have you here.